on the Wednesday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Will Summers is here. And, of course, Hunter Vaughn is here back at the Everlight Solar Studio, rather, in downtown Madison. Another two-day break. Another two wins for the Milwaukee Brewers, who have now won 11 in a row, searching for their 12th, about 40 minutes from now, first pitch in the series finale, another series win, against the Pittsburgh Pirates down the street at AmFam Field, looking for those George Webb burgers as they look for their fourth consecutive series sweep. I said it last week. I said it on Monday. And, like, obviously I'm joking when I say this. But I don't know if they're ever going to lose again. They just don't know how to lose. Last night, unbelievable against Paul Skeens, our guy Salvatore. Check out the jersey, Joshy. Check it out.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for the enthusiasm.
Speaking of jerseys.
Oh, boy. You got the Andrew Vaughn jersey on?
Yeah.
It's a jersey show today.
Oh, that's sweet.
Joshy, where's your jersey at?
I don't own a single jersey.
You don't own one?
Nope.
Why are you lame?
So this was sent to me by a buddy. I didn't buy it. My buddy Kyle sent me one. Very nice gift out of the blue. I don't know the last time I bought a jersey, but I own a few.
He bought you? Is that a real one?
I don't believe it's real. No.
Okay.
But still, I mean, that's still $40 probably. It's a nice gift. But he asked me if I had a Sal jersey a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden on Monday night, this showed up in the mail. So, but wow. So, I mean, Sal goes yard off Paul Skeens first at bat of the game last night and just sets the tone for what ends up being a 14-0 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. A little disrespectful by Caleb Durbin, but I kind of loved it. Tacked a few on against a position player at the end of the game. But all in all, I mean, it's just a complete joy to watch this team. Last night, 15 hits, 14 runs. They did have an error on defense, which they don't do very often. But a 14-0 win, I don't think you're going to overthink an error defensively. All in all, just an absolute drubbing of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who by no means are a very good baseball team. But it doesn't matter if it's a good baseball team, a bad baseball team, or a fine baseball team. The Milwaukee Brewers are just finding ways to smoke everybody. And as I mentioned, this is their second 11-game winning streak of the season. The last time a National League team did that was 1935. Two 11-plus game winning streaks in the same season. The last time a national team did it was in 1935. That is 90 years ago. So, again, what the Brewers are doing is record-breaking. It's never-before-seen stuff. They are It's truly remarkable. They're 74-44, 30 games over 500, or 75-44 rather, 31 games over 500 after the win last night. They are 7.5 games up on the Chicago Cubs when 5 weeks ago they were 4 games back. They're what now? 17-4, I think, since the All-Star break. They haven't lost in the month of August.
Isn't it 26-4 in their last 30?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Might be 25-5. Regardless, it's absurd. Because I don't know if they went into the All-Star break on a winning streak or not. But I don't know what to make of it anymore, Joshy. You tweeted it last night. I tweeted it last night. I'm running out of things to say about this baseball team.
Yeah, it's defied logic. It defies reality. It defies really, well, I'm sure there are some people who were born in 1935 still with us. But it defies what we've seen in modern history. It's a one-of-a-kind thing, and I think it's the best way I can describe it right now is it's rewriting history for a lot of Brewers fans. It's not that, you know, without a World Series appearance that it could ever really take away what 1982 was, but it seems like this is the year people are going to kind of reference. It's not always going to be 82 anymore. It's going to be the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers' incredible win streaks, the contributions from five separate rookies that all are deserving of a mention when it comes to Rookie of the Year, and Andrew Vaughn's emergence, who I believe hasn't had a hit in 4 of his games since becoming a Milwaukee Brewer. I believe that's 26 of them. It's just seemingly something always is going on. I mean, Paul Skeens, The Brewers have his number. You've seen the stats. I think Steven Watson was putting him on. A bunch of people, other people were as well. The Brewers have gotten to him more than, like, in two games, more than he has, like, the past 10 opponents he's faced. It's just, it doesn't make sense. Defies all logic. You keep thinking they can't keep doing this. They've gotten behind. They've come back. They've put up a touch, two touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Pirates
yesterday. I mean, seriously. It's a football score.
We're talking all-time great regular season baseball team now, and no longer just greatest Brewers team.
Yeah. We talked about it, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Like, right now, their medium outcome, like Baseball Prospectus would, like, you know, simulate the rest of the season.
They're, 100 wins?
Yeah. Yeah. Their low end is, like, 96 or something.
Yeah.
94, I think. That's like if things go wrong and they play poorly for the remainder of the season, they're still a 94-win baseball team.
I just want to remind you, when they lost to the Cubs on July 30th, that's their last loss, they were 20 games over 500. They are now 31 games over 500.
Yeah.
And they have a 7.5-game lead in the division. We talked about it a few weeks ago, and I want to say it was right around that Cubs series at the end of July. Well, they play small ball really well, but they don't hit a lot of home runs. This 11-game winning streak, they've been hitting a lot of home runs now, which is, I don't want to say confusing, it's encouraging. I don't know that they necessarily need the long ball all the time to win baseball games. I think they've proven they don't.
No, it certainly helps, and certainly, I mean, when they're hitting, obviously you can't hit like this for like all the time. You're not going to score 14 runs.
Correct. Although they've done it twice in the last 9 days.
Yeah, it's... It makes it easier. It builds some confidence. It allows you to let guys go longer. Because when you're tacking on runs and you're not having to grind everyone out, it just makes it easier on everyone. And that preserves your bullpen. It preserves your starters. Like, you just kind of get into, all right, well, this one's over. The main thing is, well, there's three. William Contreras has started hitting home runs again.
Yep.
Bryce Terang can't stop hitting home runs.
Can't stop.
And he's not hitting cheapies either.
No, didn't he hit like a 450-footer the other day?
It was, I've seen like 420 and 435, which for him are monster blasts.
He weighs as much as I do.
Yeah, he's a little fella. And then it's Andrew Vaughn who continues to just tear the cover off the book. On Andrew Vaughn, do you think he has fun?
It doesn't appear so, but yes.
Internally. Deep down.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen him smile.
There's one picture I can find of him on the internet of him smiling.
Is that the one with the thumbs up?
Yes.
Yeah.
With his hair all wild. But even in interviews, he's extremely flat. And, I mean, he hits a monster home run yesterday. And, like, the most excitement you get is a hand slap.
Yeah.
Well, high five.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way he carries himself. Now, do you think there's a portion of him where he's like, I should have been doing this a long time ago?
I think he probably feels, in a way, yes.
Like, it's finally coming together for him in the major leagues?
He probably also feels like, I'm going to take this all in because I know what it was like, so I'm not going to showboat or... Yeah. But, I mean, I'd be having so much fun. You go up there, you get a hit every game. You're smacking dingers. RBIs everywhere.
It's truly ridiculous that most of these guys are... Playing, I mean, I heard you say this morning, and I said it out loud with you as I was listening. I was not in the studio with you this morning. I will be tomorrow and Friday. But Chewy, I think, said this morning to you, so who, given the preseason and now at this point in the season, is overperforming? And you and I said in unison, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's overperforming. William Contreras, to your point, is back to form, it seems.
Yeah, the only one to this point who's really been a disappointment. And to say disappointment is sort of unfair. He's playing injured. He's going to have a procedure in the offseason on his hand. And he's doing it because even William Contreras, not that good, is better than 90% of catching options in the MLB. So he's, I don't want to say underperforming, but his offensive stats have been disappointing to what we know of him.
But defensively, he's been awesome.
Yes.
He's been as good as he always is.
Yes.
Offensively, .259 batting average, 12 home runs on the air.
Yep.
Which is fine.
It's
serviceable enough.
I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I saw somebody tweeting about how they should remove him from third in the lineup. I believe Hunter also gave some credence to that. And the guy, to his credit, turned it around now.
Sure did. Yeah, Hunter's literally, his motivating factor.
Literally the day that I texted you guys, like, hey, you know, I've been kind of thinking about maybe they should swap Terang and Contreras in the lineup. Uh-huh. He had his two home run game. I was like, okay, well.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
I love this. I love this little thing they're doing with Sal and Bryce. Mostly it's Sal batting first, Bryce batting seventh. But mm-hmm. the other night they flipped them. Sal batted seventh, and it's obviously matchup dependent. But I like that a lot because I think, and we've talked about this before, I've never really understood batting orders, like how they're determined. I understand the meat of the lineup. That part I've always gotten. Obviously, want a quick guy in your leadoff spot. I get all that, but I've never really understood the why don't we put good hitters at eight. Or, you know, why don't you spread them out? And the good news for the Brewers is they are proving my philosophy true because everybody's a good hitter now.
We've explained to you multiple times that the people who bat higher get more at bats throughout the course of a season.
Yes, yes. And that makes sense,
too. I think you can understand. And that's why there's been a shift of guys you typically wouldn't see hitting leadoff moving up there. But Pat Murphy is sort of a little more old school in that term. There also is the philosophy of putting a couple good hitters. Well, you're not going to put your best hitters there, but guys who can hit at the bottom of the lineup, because then when the top of the order comes up, guess who's ready to knock those guys home? Mm. It would be your 1-2s and 3s in those situations. So it's sort of a vibes thing. The Brewers have a great issue.
Sort of a vibes thing.
I mean, Bryce Terang deserves to be a leadoff hitter in, I don't know,
29 lineups?
Yeah. And I think that's why they're kind of doing the rotation thing, because both him and Sal Frelick have an equal right to that position. It's just got the hot hand.
When they moved Sal there in May, there was immediate.
Yes.
I mean, but that's also when the Brewers run really started. It was mid-May, right. End of May. And that was right around, I think it was like May 16th, I want to say, when Sal was moved to the leadoff spot. And he's been a tank since then, obviously, outside of the times he's been hurt with the hamstring injury. But again, last night, his ninth home run of the season, in the first at bat against the guy who's likely going to win the NL Cy Young.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's literal movie stuff. Like, I can't get over how ridiculous what we're witnessing is.
I think the power thing that you were talking about over the last 11 games is interesting, too. And Josh mentioning Andrew Vaughn is one of their biggest power hitters. That's not all they're using to rely on to win games. Like, you saw Andrew Vaughn, I believe it was Monday night, I think he did a squeeze play to score a guy. Yeah. Like, they're still playing Murphy ball and winning the way they knew how, because come playoff time and come the end of the season when you're playing crucial games, you don't want to strictly rely on your power and hitting home runs.
Yeah, you want to be multifaceted.
So July 25th was the home run derby, the alumni home run derby. Were any of you guys on this tweet that was sent to me about the home run derby, the alumni home run derby?
I don't know.
I was not.
I got two tweets while I was sleeping last night. One saying, hey, the Brewers have been amazing since the Alumni Home Run Derby. Did they give them roids? And then this morning, maybe I was awake, but it was earlier this morning, I got a tweet that said, Strofe, when did the cheating accusations start?
Oh, that's been going on for a while.
Well, Cubs fans, yeah.
Yeah.
Stealing signs.
They're not stealing signs.
That's what people say, though.
I know. And it'll happen because they're on the most ridiculous tear in recent memory in Major League Baseball. That's just how good they've been.
The Cubs fans accused the White Sox of stealing signs when they beat them in game one of their series a couple weeks ago. So I think it's just whatever Cubs pitchers get hit around, those fans start throwing around the accusation.
The Cubs fans are in shambles, and it's been a mess. Yeah,
I think it's more to do with, what the hell? How do they keep doing this? I can't make sense of this other than they must be cheating because no team wins like this. That's what we're grasping at straws. And that, I mean, we're grasping at straws to continue to describe how good they are.
Cubs fans are in such shambles that I've seen a number of them go through the remainder of the schedule and be like, oh, they've got 5 games against the Brewers. Oh my gosh, they might get swept by them. That's going to put them down double digits in the division lead. And then they finish up the season with 3 games against the Cardinals. Like, if they get swept there, they might miss the playoffs. Like, that's to the point where Cubs fans are.
What haven't you seen?
I haven't seen a lot of David Kaplan or Jim Rutledge talking about baseball recently.
It's a good point.
Huh.
I wonder what happened.
Been awfully quiet the last few weeks.
Interesting.
I remember Jim jumping in. Remember when the Brewers took the best record for like hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the NL flip-flopped back, and there was like, so, where is that all gone?
It's been on vacation.
Ah. Phone doesn't work.
Yeah, no. Done tweeting.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You know what's funny, though, is, so next week, starting Monday, there's the doubleheader against the Cubs Monday, and then it's a five-game series through Thursday at Wrigley Field. Even a week ago, I was like, yeah, that's the biggest series of the season. That's going to be so, you know, either detrimental or advantageous for the Brewers going into the final month of the season. We're sitting at a point, as of right now, but the Brewers could go to Wrigley Field, lose all five, and still have a 2.5 game lead in the division. That's how absurd what the last 2 weeks has been for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, it's still a big series, right? The Cubs are the top wild card team. They're still in second place in the division. But you could, in theory, lose all five and still have a multiple game lead in the NL Central. That's how good they've been the last 2 weeks.
I view it the other way. Of being, this is such a huge series that they go in there and they win all five. They, like James Harrison said, take their souls. If the Cubs get swept, they're done. Like, they will not be able to emotionally and mentally come back.
So I agree with you. In theory, their souls are already gone, man.
Yeah.
I mean
just by being Cubs,
Council post-game?
The Cubs, yes, they are. But, like, well, they're completely
Have you seen Craig Council talk recently? Yeah. Have you seen Cubs fans on social media reacting to the Brewers and what they've been doing? It's already over. And, I mean, obviously, it's not over till it's over. But it might already be over. The fact that this huge series with a rain makeup making it a five-game series is not going to dictate much of the division standings, because I have a really hard time believing what we've watched since the All-Star break and beyond, that the Brewers will get swept, because they're not going to. They're going to win probably at least three of those games. But let's just say, in theory, they get swept. They will still have a lead in the division, unless things go totally awry the next couple of days against Cincinnati in the finale against Pittsburgh here in a half an hour. But that's just absurd. I'm so unbelievably blown away. And I'm looking forward to a burger celebration later today.
Are we going to talk about your guys' little video?
Yeah, we can talk about it. So the Brewers searching for their 12th straight win for the second time in 3+ weeks. 22 days ago was game 12, which they lost. When Jacob Mizorowski was on the mound, Will and I were blamed for it as we set up chairs outside of a local George Webb. And everybody said, we jinxed it. Will and I decided last night, we got to go back. But this time, we're not sitting out front. We're not loitering. We're going to give a local business our business. So we went and had lunch at George Webb today. Popped on to Will D'Antausch. Will had some pancakes, Power Friendship, pocket pancakes from George Webb. I had a burger and some fries. It was good. It was delicious. Ironically, my menu item happened to be $11, just one short of 12.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, look, I don't believe in jinxes. I said that after they lost the 12th game last time. I don't believe me giving business to a local business is going to be a jinx. That's where I stand.
Part of me was really going to enjoy, if it doesn't happen again, and the negative attention you two will get.
Yeah, I mean, it'll really be DEF CON on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll have to turn off the app.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was going to say delete the app.
Or just mute. I got people furious at me like a week ago. Didn't see any of it.
Oh, you just muted it?
Yeah.
Oh, I read all of them.
What do I need to see that for?
I read all of yours, yeah.
Yeah, no.
When we did it the first time, I actually got amusement from some of them, because some of them were creative. If you're creative in your diss, and I think we've talked about
like
this.
Like the guy who told you you'd get rashes that affect you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like that's funny as hell.
Uh-huh. Shout out that guy.
And I will probably bring that tweet up if they win today. As I should. I get the opportunity of a victory lap.
The way I see it, if we really are a jinx, we basically just towed the rubber at American Family Field and faced the Brewers lineup, and we're throwing 100 on the corners. Because if the Brewers can overcome Strofe and I's bad luck, they can overcome anything. So for the people that are getting mad at us, we're basically just battle testing them.
That's a terrific spin zone by you. So what you're saying...
Will might be the ultimate spin doctor, by the way.
Because think about it. If they can overcome, if people say we are so bad and so unlucky, if they can overcome us, they can overcome anything come October.
So,
and playoff
hold
baseball
up. Back. What you're saying is if the Brewers win today, they're a shoo-in for the World Series.
I'm not saying that. I can't speak to if there are higher powers or higher powered teams in the MLB than yours and I, bad luck. But I would say we are pretty powerful with our jinxes, according to everybody else. So if they can overcome us, they can overcome a lot.
Well, little tip, you got to lean in there and say yes to that question.
Yes. They're shoo-ins to win the World Series.
All right, let's try it again.
I'll cut that off.
Yeah, thanks. Dump that.
Well, what you're saying is if the Brewers win today, they're a shoo-in for the World Series.
100%.
There you go. That's what I was looking for.
What?
Wow.
Ryan on the Cardinals text line, 800-990-3776, says, Strofe, too early for magic number talk? No, 37.
I thought it was 38.
No, it's 37.
37
now.
Because the Cubs lost.
Those morons.
Thanks, Chicago. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to lose again today. Hey, I don't know the rest of the song. I really don't know how it goes. You're from Chicago. How does it go? But go change the
Cubs,
words.
Go boob.
Blow,
Cubs,
baby. Blow Cubs. Blow?
I thought it was choke Cubs choke.
That works too.
Hey, Milwaukee, what do you say? The Cubs are going to lose today. There's like one sentence that's just repeated throughout the entire song. It gets very repetitive.
Cubs right, fans job, not very creative.
Cubs
creative.
Fans, yeah.
No, they're not. All right. Brewers Pirates looking for the 12th straight win and free burgers from George Webb at 1:10. So about 20 minutes from right now, first pitch. It's Big Woo on the mound. They have won all six of his starts. He is 4-0 since returning to the Brewers about a month or so ago.
I just remembered out of nowhere, I saw Pearl Jam sing the Go Cubs Go song in Wrigley Field with Ernie Banks on stage.
That's
wild. 2014.
Yeah. But you saw it live?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to the, I was sitting on the infield for that game. Ernie Banks came out, rest his soul, I believe, died by like a year later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I was trying to remember why, because I haven't been to many games in Wrigley.
In January 2015 is when Ernie Banks passed away.
I think I've been to one. And I was remembering the song. I don't hear that song often. The Go Cubs Go song. I'm trying to think of where else I would have known it, and then it came to me.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed that story. That was a good sidetrack.
It's a pretty cool way to know the song.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the big story of the week. Monday, I mentioned it on the show, just in passing. Jordan Love had his thumb taped to practice. Didn't really think anything of it. Thought maybe he hit it on a helmet. It'll be fine. Yesterday morning, Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst takes the podium and says, so Jordan's going to have, and I quote, a little procedure on his thumb, and it'll keep him out about a week. He'll be ready for week one. In theory, you know, in summary, that's what he said. Just dropped the bomb right out of the gates. So the Packers quarterback is, his procedure's done. It happened yesterday. They said they hope to have him back at practice next week. We'll see if that's truth or if they'll have him back, you know, after the Seahawks finale, a week from Saturday, preseason finale, that is. But it sounds everybody's confident he'll be back for week one. So personally, I have no concern. It sounds like, if it was the regular season, this is something he would play through and it wouldn't affect him a ton. Obviously, it's on his non-throwing hand, so it affects some snaps and some handoffs. But all in all, it's not a major injury. Like I said, if this happened in the regular season, it's something he played through and would address in the offseason. But he had app time to address it now, get back to 100%, and be ready for week one against the Detroit Lions. The only negative for me out of this is personally, and I don't know if the Packers would have done this or would not have done this, dependent on his health, I probably would have liked to see at least a little bit more Jordan Love in preseason. Now, the joint practices are obviously one part where we would have seen him with some live bullets and some live reps against the Colts tomorrow and then against the Seahawks in Green Bay next week and joint practices. But I would have liked to see a little bit more after, not just for him, but really overall, an underwhelming preseason performance for the Green Bay Packers on Saturday and their loss to the Jets. So I wouldn't have hated to see some of this first team offense get some more reps together. So the Jordan Love piece is just one piece of it for me, where I go, yeah, it's fine. He'll be ready. He'll be back. He'll be healthy. I'm fine with him getting the procedure. He'll be fine to go for week one. Hopefully it's not an issue anymore. The bigger issue for me is everybody and their mother in the wide receiver room is hurt. Matthew Golden's the only healthy receiver. Romeo Doubs goes down at practice yesterday. Savion Williams leaves practice early again yesterday. Jaden Reed's in a walking boot. Dontavian Wicks has been banged up the last couple of weeks. Christian Watson's not going to be ready for the opener. We might get to a point where Bo Melton's playing both ways in the preseason. Because you're down to Matthew Golden, Malik Heath, and some guys that aren't going to make the roster. And Mecole Hardman, who also might not make the roster. That's the bigger concern for me on the Packers front, is everybody's banged up. And then you look in other positions, Rasheed Walker's been hurt, Xavier McKinney's been hurt, Nate Hobbs has been hurt. The injuries are starting to pile up a little bit, and that's concerning for me. But the good news is, it's only August 13th. The Packers don't play a real meaningful game until September 7th, and hopefully everybody is back and healthy at that point. But this is the crappy part of the preseason, where injuries start to pile up, because football is a dangerous sport, and the injury rate's 100%. Everybody gets hurt. Everybody gets banged up. You've heard every former NFL player on our airwaves say that many, many, many times. Maybe other than Brad Hartman, the punter. But no shot at Brad. Just punters don't take hits. But you've heard Bulaga. You've heard Tauscher. Everybody gets hurt. It's just football. But at this point in the preseason, don't love seeing it out of the wide receiver room. Are you a little worried at all, Joshy, like I am about that room specifically?
No. I think you obviously want Jordan Love to be able to sort of continue to grow his chemistry with those guys, and that can be an issue. But I also think it forces what I think is best for the team, and that's more and more Matthew Golden and more attention to him. Obviously, you would prefer your guys to be healthy and to maintain their health. But I think it's going to make it obvious to everybody in Green Bay that, hey, we've got a unique talent here in Matthew Golden, and we can't waste our time getting cute and giving these guys even rotations. We have a focal point of the offense through the passing game now at the wide receiver position, and we need to continue to try and get it better and better and get him closer and closer to being a real NFL wide receiver and being prepared for what he's going to see out there. And I think Malik Willis is capable enough to do a good job of bringing him along. He's not Jordan Love. No. I don't think he's going to be. But it's not going to be a complete bleep show for them.
Yes. I think that's actually a good point that I didn't make. So credit to you. You often do that.
Thank you.
Malik Willis is one of the more established backup quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yes.
Right? He's been in the league a long time. He's had a lot of starts, despite them not being very good when he was in Tennessee, but he's had plenty of playing time. He's an established veteran in the NFL now. So the good news is he's not playing with, say, a Taylor Elgersma,
right,
no shot at Sean Clifford, but kind of a shot at Sean Clifford.
Full shot.
Sean Clifford.
Full shot.
Full shot. That's a good point by you. Now, the other good news with Matthew Golden is he looks the part.
Yeah. I think what we're watching is the Packers have a bunch of NFL-level wide receivers. They don't have any Greg Jennings, Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson. And I'm not, I think, comparing Matthew Golden before he's played an NFL snap, a real NFL snap, to Davante's unfair. But I think we're seeing a guy who, if not a 1A, he's a 1B. And it's become clearer and clearer and more evident every day. You see somebody go, wow, what a grab. What a route. What the guy just doesn't drop the ball. I think he's had two drops all of camp. And that's for a rookie. This is all brand new to him. This is the big leagues now. And it seems like he's really establishing himself and setting himself apart. I think he's breaking the streak of no 1,000-yard wide receivers for the Packers.
I love that prediction from you. I hope you're right. It's been since Davante Adams.
If I'm wrong, I'm going to blame someone else.
Who?
I have to decide between Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I have a question.
The good news is you'll have evidence to help you dictate who that blame goes to. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
If the Packers get off to a slow start, Are you going to come back to this Jordan Love injury is the reason why?
No, he's out of excuses.
Yeah. It's also non-throwing hand. And I think he would have played. I mean, Schefter said it on Jen Gabe and Chewy this morning.
He would have played through it.
Yeah, he would have played through it. If it doesn't look like everything's clicking, but they're still winning games, sure. Then you can be like, yeah, let's give them a little time. He had some time off, but yeah, no, excuses are done. You played with a groin, a knee. You can figure out the hand.
Yeah, I agree. We used the injury excuse last year. I'll give it to him. I still think there were some inconsistencies that I'd like to see him clean up regardless of the injuries.
I do hate the saying it's like injury excuses.
I think the real excuses.
Right. And that's the thing, because an excuse to me is something you're saying that isn't like...
Yeah, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances.
For instance.
Yeah.
You blaming the wildfire smoke. And that's an excuse.
No, that's... sure, it's an excuse, but it's real. It's a real excuse, just like having a groin injury.
But no. That's an
amazing callback.
Wildfire smoke is full-on excuse. Because you also did a ton of other things to yourself to destroy your immune system.
You can probably
hear
me in the background. I'm still coughing.
Yeah?
Yes, and guess what?
We never questioned that you got sick.
Yeah.
Just said you were the majority of the blame.
You may not have, but people certainly have.
Yeah.
I'm still sick.
Such a grinder.
I'm grinding through it today, man. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I need to cough real quick.
Have you... As somebody in this situation, have you upped your sleep, your hydration?
Yes, all of the above.
Gone like emergency or to some of those solutions that bring you extra hydration?
I haven't done that yet. I probably should pick up some emergency.
Mix in a couple extra veggies.
That I've been doing. Potatoes last night.
Not veggies.
That's a snitch. Nope. Swing and a miss.
Amazing.
Starch.
Amazing.
You're the best.
Do onions count?
We have to explain what vegetables are to you. You're 26 years old.
I've not upped the veggies. I'll come clean on that.
Oh, you don't say.
Valiant effort.
Come clean on that one. I always forget potatoes aren't technically a vegetable, even though they are technically a vegetable.
You kind of had me for a second. I was like, oh, he's eating potatoes. He's good. That, I don't know if that means much, but
it doesn't. But
yeah, well, when I say up in the vegetables, it's like the nutrients and the vitamins in those can improve overall health.
So which one would be best? Carrots?
Carrots, broccoli.
I don't think you could. Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of the classics.
I'm having carrots tonight.
Are they going to be sweetened in manners?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Maybe some Brussels sprouts.
I don't have any in the house.
Asparagus.
Asparagus is a great one.
My girlfriend doesn't like asparagus.
Zucchini.
I do, but makes her pee stink.
Cucumbers.
Love. I have a cucumber on my desk right now.
There you
Should
go.
I eat that after the show?
Yeah.
Just house it.
All right.
Even though I think cucumbers are, they certainly have benefits, but I think they're fairly more inert.
Yeah. You do get a lot of water out of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm really grinding it out.
I feel like the coughs have ticked up ever since you mentioned his illness.
That was a sneeze. You said bless
you. Oh my arm. Any more excuses?
No. That's just...
Will, do you know what inert means?
Nope. Put it on the list. Thanks.
I don't like that we've had to tell him what to put on the list.
Yeah, he's really slacking.
One from today. I couldn't make out what he said.
Inert.
Do we want to workshop the one you're trying to work out?
I think inert.
Oh, was that the one?
Is the one he was trying to work out.
Yeah, I just couldn't understand what you said.
Actually, we'll wait for the end.
I thought you said an entirely different word.
All right, well, regardless, it is your time to shine.
What's so funny about that?
Just, you never fail to amaze us. All right, well, it's your time to shine. Each and every Wednesday, Will Summers does his Wednesday midweek week in review. With a theme, a little Chris Berman-esque, fastest 2 minutes from NFL content. Wop, wop, wop. And Will's going to bring us up to speed on everything that happened in the last week while I go get a cough drop. Will, the floor is yours.
Yep. Brewers have won 11 in a row, which means we are one game away from free burgers. So let's give a little ode to George Webb with this one. After sweeping a six-game road trip, the Brewers returned home to take on the Mets over the weekend in a three-game series. Down 2-0 early in Friday's contest, Bryce Arella sticks Terang used his bat to tie the game on a two-run home run in the fifth. Later in the inning, Isaac Cold Cereal Collins would take a hit-by-pitch to score a cup of hot Joe Ortiz. With two outs in the bottom of the ninth, a Jeff McNeil single was about to bring home the tying run when Blake, who you calling Shrimp Perkins, threw out Starling Marte at home to end the game. On Saturday, it was Bryce Terang again as he, Patty, melted a fastball over the middle for a home run to tie the game at 3 in the fourth. Down a run going into the seventh, the Brewers' Webb Benedictated two runs to take the lead before William Contreras' double bacon cheeseburger comboed the big inning with a two-run home run to give the Brewers a 7-4 lead, and they would go on to win by that score. On Sunday, the Brewers found the sweep in jeopardy as they were down 5-0 early. But William Contreras beat the pitcher like the beaten eggs in a Denver omelet, hitting two home runs to get the crew back in the game. With the game tied in the bottom of the ninth, Isaac Collins continued to play like the all-American breakfast that includes two eggs, golden hash browns, and your choice of bacon, ham, or sausage patties or links, as he hit a walk-off home run to give the Brewers the win and the sweep. On Monday, the Brewers took on the Pirates for the start of another three-game series, and the crew got out to a hot start as Bryce Terang and Christian Yolk Yelich hit home runs to give the Brewers an early lead. The crew would not look back behind Freddy Peralta on the mound as he corned beef hashed out six innings, allowing just three hits and one run in a Brewers win. And then last night, the Brewers looked to win their 11th game in a row. It was NL Cy Young candidate Paul Skeens on the mound for the Pirates. But the Brewers hit around that sourdough boy as they put up four runs on six hits, including two home runs before Skeens was removed after four innings. Freddy Peralta put together a masterful performance as he sirloin steak sandwiched the Pirates lineup, striking out seven in six innings, allowing just three hits and one run. The crew will go for win number 12 tonight with your Mr. Irrelevant Week recap. I'm Will Summers.
Okay. We were sitting at lunch, Joshy.
Yes.
Will looks at me and he goes, I'm doing research right now. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I'm looking at the menu.
Tough look for me this morning. Brian, D, director of content, walked in and I just had the George Webb menu up on my computer.
I don't know that that's a tough look.
He's like, what are you doing?
He probably appreciated that.
He did.
Okay.
What was the hang up there on... Was it the Benedict?
Benedictated.
Benedictated. That was a tough word. I brought that on myself. Shouldn't have wrote it down. Hand up.
Well, it worked well. It was just you like stumbled through it. It was like you didn't trust yourself.
Well, say that three times fast.
Can you give me the one more time where you said the choice of sausage, bacon?
The All-American. I just summarized the All-American breakfast that includes two eggs, golden hash browns, and your choice of bacon, ham, or sausage, patties, or links.
Patties are better than links.
True.
Yep.
Good take.
Great take.
Yep. I agree with you on that.
I don't like the casing.
Yes.
Sausage links.
Thank you, Josh. Yes.
Yeah.
Casing is awful.
That's off-putting to me. Uh-huh.
I didn't expect Hunter to have such a ferocious take on that.
Yeah.
I hate the casing.
My mom used to make the style with casing and really didn't like those.
Did you ever talk about
it? You sure did. I believe my father liked them, so I think I won in the long run as the child. But there was more
cased, as the child.
Yeah, there was more cased sausage than I would have liked in my past.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We got through it.
Yeah, life goes on.
Uh-huh.
All right, we do this also each and every Wednesday. Hunter's got a list of topics that maybe we've missed or slipped through the cracks. Joshy, Will, and I will respond to them with one word. We call it One Word Wednesday. Hunter, let's play a little one word.
We're going to start in the college football world. Former Washington State quarterback and now the quarterback for Oklahoma, John Mateer's Venmo transactions came out, and they included one that was, quote, sports gambling, parentheses, UCLA versus USC. That one was the day after USC beat UCLA 48-45. Mateer claims they were all a, quote, inside joke.
Yeah, so he was a freshman at Washington State when this happened.
Yes.
I thought he was in high school initially, so I had no problem with it. Problematic is the word. I hope he doesn't get in trouble, because who actually gives a damn? I really don't care.
but then you end up with Malik Beasley situations.
Correct.
Suspicious is my word. So when I initially saw this, save for the singular USC-UCLA thing, I often, and I'm sure all of us here, will put funny things, sometimes questionable things, as the title for, like, hey, you bought me a six-pack of beer on the way over, and I'm paying you back for it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, just the smallest things, and you'll put something totally outrageous. The specific game in parentheses makes it more difficult to believe. I do think there's a chance he was just being dumb and put in the game he watched, you know, the night previous with people. But it's not a smart move to get this sort of attention. Also, put that, I almost said the S word, put that on private. No one needs to see you.
No one needs to see
you. I'm fascinated when I open my Venmo. Mine's been on private since basically day one.
Mine as well.
But I'm fascinated when I see, like, if you wanted to internet stalk somebody, the best way to do it is their Venmo transactions.
Yep.
You can see exactly who they're hanging out with and what they're doing.
God, there's a lot in here.
So many.
Pull effing tabs, baby. We are so back.
I imagine that is... We entered together. You know, we were putting down.
That means they probably won, yeah.
Right, they won. And then typically if it's a bigger one, 250, 500, you don't get same day. So someone goes and picks it up and then they Venmo you whatever your winnings were.
Take more of my money. Damn. That's one of them.
My word's proportion. I think this whole thing is being blown up a little bit. And now people have started creating fake Venmo transactions.
Seen that.
But I also think. I mean, that message could mean anything. We don't know what he was talking about.
I mean...
It could mean anything.
It did say sports gambling in the game.
But that could mean anything.
Yeah,
could mean anything.
The day after the exact game. Anyway...
Oh, I have $20 in my Venmo. From what?
Great. Congratulations. On to the second one. The AP preseason poll came out. The Wisconsin Badgers will play six top 25 teams. Ohio State, Oregon, Bama, Illinois, Michigan, and IU.
Yeah, but it's even worse than that, isn't it? I think it's four of the top 11 and six of the top 20.
Yes. And I believe Minnesota received votes.
Yeah, not good. Disheartening, probably the word.
Off eater saying.
Huh?
Can you spell that?
Got say that again. That was great, Josh.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Off of Eater saying?
Yeah, I got nothing.
That is the German for goodbye, correct, Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there might be some... There's a chance the season gets rather ugly, and we've got some new faces in Madison.
I'm guessing 4-8.
That would be tough.
Yeah. That's going to be my word for. That's the max amount of wins I could see them getting. Max. Yeah. Have you seen their schedule?
Could get five.
You put their ceiling at four?
I was surprised there was only six teams in the top 25 that they were playing.
Yeah, Minnesota and Iowa both aren't. And then who else is it?
Maryland, the first two opponents. Miami, Ohio, Middle Tennessee.
I'm going to watch.
You are.
But...
I mean, I probably will, too.
I'm going to be quick to change a channel or find something else to do. This,
I will
unless
say
professionally
this.
Obligated.
The reports are right now, and it's been pretty consistent, the Jeff Grimes offense, it looks like a modernized version of what Wisconsin football used to be. And, like, things are... I think the offense will be better.
Which is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It's just two years too late.
Who's their best running back?
It'll be Dylan Jones and Darion Dupree are both doing really well, and then Cade Iacomelli will be their third.
Yuck.
Here's the issue. I don't know who Dylan Jones is. I've never heard of him.
He's been breaking off 70-plus runs consistently. Thing. Yeah, that's a you problem.
Okay, great.
You got Brewers fever, and we don't blame you for that.
Yeah, and then it's Packers, and
yeah.
I'm just low on the Badgers, so I haven't been paying attention. You're right on that, but at least Darion Dupree, I know he was a highly touted recruit. Cade Iacomelli's been on the team, so I know who that is. But, yeah, I just... There's no Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon buzz. And if we're going to the Badgers of the old, I'd like a stud running back.
Dylan Jones.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would love an all-time great Badger.
Literally one of the greatest college football players ever. Yeah. You named two of them.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, that's fair.
I too would like that.
Hey, guys, I want Reggie Bush to play for the Badgers again.
I'd like a Heisman finalist. That'd be sick.
It'd be awesome if Russell Wilson was their quarterback again. Okay, maybe have JJ Watt on the D line.
All right, enough.
Wait, before we move on, do I have to do that German word?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how we're going to end the show today. We're going to end the show by you pronouncing that word that means goodbye in German.
Have you looked it up yet?
No, I don't know.
I want you to try spelling it first before you look it up.
Can you say it again?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Okay, I'm on it. If I can't find it, though, I'm just going to look up German words.
There's got to be a Z in there, right?
I've got two more here. This first one, it's going to take a little bit for me to get through, so hold on tight.
Oh, boy.
Shohei Ohtani is being sued for $240 million by a Hawaii real estate investor and broker who were both fired. The allegation is that Ohtani, and this is true, Ohtani bought a home in Hawaii. The company then that was trying to develop a luxury condo development approached him to be their spokesperson. Now, the investor and broker are claiming that Ohtani was trying to use his celebrity status to have outrageous things in his contract to try and delay the project, which then was caused those two to be fired because they couldn't get the deal signed with Ohtani. So they're suing him for the money they lost, or are claiming they have lost, by being fired because they couldn't get the deal done with him.
Can we all just use the word confusion?
Yes.
Because I heard it was something else where Ohtani or his agent was trying to squeeze a different guy out of the deal because they didn't like him or something.
Well, and that's kind of where they aren't
sure. That's firing.
Torturous
interference and unjust enrichment.
Which is, they were trying to be overly complicated to prolong the negotiation and, like, push them out is what they're claiming.
The lawsuit says defendants used threats and baseless legal claims to force a business partner to betray its contractual obligations and strip plaintiffs of the very project they conceived and built. Confusion.
I don't know if I have a word, but I think there should be less luxury condos and apartments built across all of America.
Amen.
That's a good take.
One final one. Let's make fun of another rich person. Jerry Jones, while on the red carpet before the Netflix documentary, said, quote, "The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days a year. When it gets slow, I stir it up."
Admission is my word. He just said something we've always known. Yeah.
Honesty.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. And to a degree, I feel like we've been in this thing with Jerry for a long time where he knows he's doing a thing and we know he's doing a thing, but we still react to it as if he doesn't know he's doing a thing. And we're all just sort of like playing this game with him despite all knowing it's a game.
Yeah, my word is thankful now that we are aware that he knows that he's doing this and he's going to continue doing it for all of our entertainment.
Yeah.
I like that he admitted it. It's something we already know.
And then we do get to laugh at Hunter a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is also beauty. Yeah. Always fun when we get to do that as well. So all right. There you have it. There's One Word Wednesday. Hunter's defeated, per usual, and football season hasn't even begun.
Like, that's what's so upsetting about this. I'm already checked out in the Cowboys. That's why I'm putting so much hope in the Badgers looking better. Because I'm like, I need a football team to look good that I cheer for.
I have bad news, buddy.
Yeah, you should.
Badgers are going to look better. Badgers are going to look better.
Can I use one of my words here?
Sure.
Hunter's grasping at straws with the Badgers.
You didn't know grasping at straws?
No.
Oh,
he's like a newborn baby.
Did I use it correctly?
Yo, I came to the office yesterday after lunch, and I said, Yeah, I said to a couple people, including Will, I said, you guys know the phrase, back up the Brinks truck? I've never seen a Brinks truck in the wild until my walk before. I just saw a Brinks truck.
I've seen the other brand.
Because there's another brand. There's another brand that's not Brinks that carries money everywhere. And Will goes, I've never heard that in my life. I said, back up the Brinks truck? He goes, how do you spell that? I just said, sound it out, and I walked away.
William.
That's the epitome of my life. How do you spell that so I can look it up, figure out what you guys are talking about?
Back up the Brinks truck. Someday they're going to do that for you, Will.
Sure hope so.
Oh, you know what it means now.
I do, now that I Googled it, and someone had to explain it to me. Well, I originally...
Jalen Ramsey once famously showed up to Jaguars training camp
in a Brinks truck.
In a Brinks truck with bags of money pouring out of it as he got out.
That's hilarious.
That's true. Just a quick update. Pirates have runners on the corners in the top of the first
inning. Uh-oh.
Not great.
That's because I've got the game on TV. I can't have the game on TV. Hang on. I'll switch it off.
Turn off my mic. Thank you. Turn my mic back on. Thank you.
I didn't turn it off.
Oh. It went.
I didn't turn it back on, so I couldn't have turned it off, right?
I guess that's fair. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully the Pirates don't score.
I turned the TV off.
Time now for
what
we missed, what we learned. All right. Good call. Time now for what we missed, what we learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whether you're heading to Door County or not, you can bring Door County to you, whether you're in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Stevens Point, any of the in-betweens. Grab some of the rums, gins, brandies, whiskeys, vodkas, all the in-betweens. Local collaborations, they are delicious, they are affordable, they are award-winning. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Yes, got out of it.
Come on.
Told you, I turned it off.
.com.
We got to make sure Big Woo's okay, though. Because I believe that hit
that
him.
Ball hit him. Yeah.
He's fine.
He's okay. He's walking off.
He's tough.
Check him with the ump.
He's Big Woo.
They call him Big for a reason.
He is a bad mother.
Effer? Yeah, tend to agree.
Him and Quinn Priester are the two guys I wouldn't want to charge the mound if I was a batter. The other pitchers I could take.
So, big announcement made the other night.
Okay.
On the New Heights podcast. The New Heights podcast. Taylor Swift dropping her 12th album at some point. We don't have a release date. And she's going to be the guest on this week's New Heights podcast with her boyfriend, Travis Kelce, and his brother, Jason Kelce, which will release, I think, 6 o'clock this afternoon. Will, you watching it?
No chance. Not a chance in the world.
Josh, you watching it?
No.
Okay. So me and Hunter, I think, will be in the same boat.
Yep. Already made sure. I'll watch it with home in time, and Sarah and I will have it on the TV while we make dinner and eat dinner.
All right.
Yeah. She's a brilliant musician.
Yep.
A millennium type of person, like once in multiple generations.
Huh?
Not a particularly engaging person.
So, have you listened to New Heights before?
Yes.
As have I?
Yes.
Listened to it, I would say, rather frequently during the football season. I don't know if she moves the needle for me.
No, she will for many millions.
It'll probably be one of the most
Instagram had
podcasts
a 3,000% increase in followers since the announcement. This will probably be the most viewed first 24 hours of a YouTube video ever.
Well, what currently has the lead? Like Gangnam Style or something?
No, it's Donald Trump on a podcast. When he went on one of those during the election cycle, he set the record for like the first 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, and people are talking about like one of the all-time videos, but like I'm pretty sure Baby Shark has like 18 billion or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How many does the Tavon Austin highlight reel have? It's got to have a
lot.
One. Definitely not
millions.
Near the top. But
yep. Millions. It's your favorite video ever, though, you've said.
Yeah.
I like talking 95% men, probably.
Noel Devine's high school highlight. Ooh. That is an all-time... Clicking on real quick right now.
Hold on. Noel Devine.
Yep.
You don't know who Noel Devine is?
can't say I know who that is as well.
I'm going to guess football.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Guess the school.
This is very disappointing.
College?
Yep.
Yep.
Clemson?
No.
Nope.
Arkansas?
Alabama?
Nope.
USC?
Country Roads!
West Virginia?
Yep.
He was a 5'8", 180-pound running back.
Yeah.
I believe he played high school in Florida. I'm not kidding. Pull it up. In the first 30 seconds, your mind will be blown.
Okay. I will do that at some point.
It is unbelievable.
Okay, a couple things before we get out of here. Will, we just received the tweet about our George Webb attending today from a guy by the name of Beer Cheese Benny. You guys realize if we lose, you're in danger, right?
It's good to know.
Yeah. Love the internet, man. It's the best. All right, Will, what'd you miss?
All right, I'm going to take another stab at this one. Grasping at straws, making desperate but futile attempts to solve a problem or find a way to succeed. After looking everywhere for my keys, I was grasping at straws when I checked the freezer for them.
No.
Josh?
I think Josh is watching Noel Devine. I don't think he's listening.
It's you're right, but
grasping for straws.
In the freezer.
Yeah, that's...
Just say it again.
After looking everywhere for my keys, I was grasping at straws when I checked the freezer for them.
Yeah.
I guess...
You typically don't use it when you actually would be grasping something, which kind of throws it off.
Okay, so it's more like a figurative?
Yeah, so it's like I'm grasping at straws trying to justify the Badgers being good.
That's what I said, and you guys said I misused it.
Yeah, you said you opened the freezer, though.
No, but I said the Badgers Cowboys won before that.
Okay. Noel Devine, good highlight day.
Yeah. What else? He came in right after the Pat White, Steve Slayton era.
Inert. Something that lacks the ability to move or react. My reflexes are not inert when competing in athletic activities.
Yep. Sure.
Gonna guess that's a no.
No, we'll give that to you.
Inert usually is a description of like a substance is inert. It's more like scientific.
Yeah. Yep. That's where it comes from, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the first five letters of inertia.
And then do I still have to pronounce this German word?
Yeah, that's how we're going to end the show. We'll be back with you Friday beginning at 12:30.
First, Madison, spell it.
ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. That will do it for us today. Make sure you get us Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the ESPN Wisconsin app, wherever you get your podcasts, if you need to catch up on any recent editions of Mr. Irrelevant as we trend towards the football season. All right, that does it for us today. We allow Will to send us out by spelling and then pronouncing the German way to say goodbye.
VERABSCHIEDUNG. Verabschiedung.
Does he have the right word?
No. I don't believe so. What was the word you said again?
What just happened? It was like he had a stroke. It's a totally different word.
We can't end like this.
I just looked up what the German
this.
Word for goodbye is.
Josh, what word did you say?
Auf Wiedersehen. You forgot the off part, and then you started with a V.
I thought it sounded funny when I started spelling it. It started with a V.
Auf Wiedersehen means to express farewell. It is not the direct translation of goodbye.
Well, that would have been nice to know.
Spell yours again.
VERABSCHIEDUNG. Verabschiedung.
All right, we're done here. Auf Wiedersehen. We'll talk to you on Friday.